one, do you like the pencil?
All right, you're on, Dolores.
All right, so what they're doing here is they're writing their names. Because we would be about 3 months into school, and I would know all your names, and you would know mine. Mine is Miss Mast. And, but it's kind of a challenge here because we're jumping in the middle. And, Grant, okay, good. So, we'll see. We'll try to do the best we can here. And we're also pretending that there's nobody watching us. It's just all of you and me. All right, why don't we stop that just a little bit, and let's do, start with review. And to start that review, we are going to do our early church chant. So, everyone stand up and push your chair in. It's going to be a little awkward here. We're a little tight. Sometimes we just... Good. All right. First of all, the Scandinavian countries. Do you know the song? Copenhagen, Denmark. You know that song? No, maybe some of them. Please sing really loud, okay? We're going to go ahead and sing. And I want you, No, that's not going to work. Well, let me just go up here and show you. I'm going to point to the countries, and you, from where you are, you point to the countries you follow on, okay? Go ahead and help me. Copenhagen, Denmark, Oslo, Norway, Reykjavik, Iceland, Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden. These are the capitals and countries of Scandinavia. Up around the Arctic Circle, the Nordic countries have a northern lights, forests and fjords, seeing and fishing in the land of the midnight sun. And the northernmost town in the world is Hammerfest. This is Scandinavia. We will come back to that in just a moment. And you will mark on your maps. Let's keep on going here. Never mind. I'm not used to this one. Okay. This is a timeline here, and like I said, we would be jumping in. Our story today is about the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, and he was born in 121. Do you see there about where that would be? So those little marks are by what? Can somebody figure that out? So we have 100 there, and then we have 150.
10.
So let's try that. 100, 110, 20, 30, 40, 50. You are correct. So do you see where 121 would be? That's about the time he was born. He became emperor in 161. You see about where that would be? Just a little bit before Polycarp's death there. And then he was emperor until 180. So jump a few marks there. See where we would be? Okay. I don't know how you've done this, but we're going to do this like I'm going to show you how I normally do. We take a word and we have our words here, just like you drew out of the little bowl. We're going to draw a word out. So we're going to start with persecution. And then we say terrible
terrible mistreatment of innocent people. And let me see. I'm going to pick on you. You say, you mean hurting people on purpose? And everybody goes, yes. Okay, ready? Persecution, terrible mistreatment of innocent people. You mean, maybe this will help you.
You mean hurting others on purpose?
Yes.
All right, the next one is, this is a little awkward here. Let's just go ahead and fill that one right there. All right, we're going to pull out another word, and that is martyr, one who dies for his faith. We're not going to fall over, but we'll just let our head hang like we just died. Okay, ready? Martyr, one who dies for his faith. Next, Jerusalem, the city where persecution of Christians began. Martyr's Mirror, book of martyrs' stories. Jesus, the head of the Christian church. Now this one's a little different. We have apostles, followers of Jesus. They led the early church. So we're following Jesus and then we lead those behind us, okay? Apostles, followers of Jesus, they led the early church. And we'll do one more for the sake of time. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. All together. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, there would be more of a chant here, but because of time, we're going to stop. Now, I want you to all sit down, and I'm going to pass out the maps. So you take one, pass it on, and let's see if we can sing this song again. The Scandinavian one. And let's see if we can sing a little louder so that everybody... I'll just leave that one right there. Everybody can hear you sing. I know it's scary to sing in front of everybody. If you notice on the maps, I have marked several countries that we would have learned already. So which one do you think we're ready for? Can somebody try to figure that one out? Which one are we ready for? Do you remember the song? I suppose you learned it last year, most of you. Am I right? All right, so let's try it again. Let's sing it, and you see if you can figure out which country we are ready for. Copenhagen, Denmark, Oslo, Norway, Reykjavik, Iceland, Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden. These are the capitals and countries of Scandinavia. Who knows what we're ready for? Ready? Did you figure it out? All right, let's do it again. Copenhagen, Denmark, Oslo, Norway, Reykjavik, Iceland, Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden. These are the capitals and countries of Scandinavia.
Oslo,
Norway. Okay, so do you understand what's happening? We're doing the capitals first. So Copenhagen is the capital of Denmark. Copenhagen, Denmark. Oslo, Norway, Reykjavik, Iceland, Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, Sweden. Which country are we ready for? Yes.
Denmark.
So I think Denmark's already listed. Look carefully on your map. You see it on your map? Mm-hmm. We started already with Denmark. You got it? Okay, I'll tell you. It's Finland. Let's go over here to Finland and go ahead and write Finland. Yeah. Make sure you don't get Sweden. Sweden is right beside Norway. So this song, we kind of go around the circle, if you notice. We start with Denmark, go up to Iceland, and then Finland, and then Sweden. Okay, we're gonna do a quick turn and review. So if you have the number of one of, whoever you have the number with, I want you to do a little bit of review. I want you to point to a country and have the other person say it. So do one and then switch off to the next person. Okay, ready? Go ahead. So you can start. You start. Just work with your partner there.
Understand what you're doing? Somebody points to a country, no one says it, and then you take turns back and forth.
All right, now I want you to do it with capitals. Now those aren't listed on your maps, so. You can look up here if you don't know. Some words that we're not really very familiar with. You know how to pronounce that? Reykjavik. All right. All right, thank you for your attention there. And if we were having a real class, we would probably be spending more time reviewing, but we need to go on to our story. Have you ever imagined what it'd be like to be persecuted? No. We really don't know what that's like, right? We've never really had to hide that we're a Christian or be afraid that the wrong people are going to hear about it, take us to jail or something worse. Sometimes when I think about persecution, I wonder, would I be strong enough to be faithful? You ever thought about that? There's a special word that means to give up, and it's called recant. Can you say that word after me? Recant. Again?
Recant.
Good. Today, we have a story about a group of people that were persecuted. This is back in the early church, soon after Jesus died and rose again. I am going to read the story, but I am going to skip just a bit of it for the sake of time. And I'll try to tell you where I'm skipping in case it doesn't quite make sense. What do you desire to have done with these Christians we chained yesterday, Almighty Emperor? Do they still persist in their foolishness? Yes, and refuse to bow down to my images? They do. They say there is but one God, and they will pay homage to none other. Do you wish to have their case decided in court? No, exploded the angry emperor. I will decide their punishment myself. The only reason I haven't already done so is because I have not been able to come up with anything bad enough for those miserable dogs. But I'll think of it, and when I do, it will be perfect. The Emperor Marcus Aurelius spat on the ground. How I hate those Christians, he added. Then he dismissed the men with a wave of his hand. But one of them lingered. It was a captain, and he seemed to be gathering courage to speak.
"But Emperor," he protested weakly, "they are harmless men. They did not resist when they were apprehended."
"Be quiet at once and leave the room," roared the Emperor. "I have no time for such foolish prattle." As the captain slunk out the door, the Emperor ordered slaves and his litter brought in. "I shall go bathe for an hour or two," he decided. "It will refresh my mind, and I will be able to think more clearly." You ever heard of some of the best ideas happen in the shower, right? That's what this Emperor was going to do. He's going to go have a bath. He's going to have a really long bath. And he was going to try to think of a really bad punishment. Several days later, the Emperor decided on a punishment for the imprisoned Christians. Feeling very pleased with himself for having devised such a clever plan, he immediately summoned for the captain. "I've decided what is to be done with those Christians," announced the Emperor. The captain's face fell at the news. He struggled to hide his feelings. I just read a figure of speech. We say his face fell. Does that mean that it fell on the ground? What does it mean when your face fell?
You got sad.
Can you all give me your definition of what it would look like if your face fell? Thank you. Several days later, "Why don't you ask what it is?" growled the Emperor, watching the captain's face, angered by what he saw there. The captain tried to keep his voice calm. "What is it?" he asked quietly. "Tonight at dusk, they will be taken to the shore of the lake, just below the temple. They will march out on the ice and will be forced to remain there until they are ready to do as I say." Now, it's really hot the last few days. It's hard to imagine what winter feels like. But try to use your imagination and remember when it's really cold outside. So cold that you can go ice skating. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? I think so. But when you go outside in the cold, you want to put on coats and boots and gloves, all those things, right? That's not how they were going to go out there. "I think they will soon change their minds about not worshiping images. I'm going to assign you to see that my plan is carried out." "But what if they refuse to surrender?" asked the captain weakly, shrinking from the task before him.
"They will surrender," bellowed the Emperor, "or they will remain on the ice until they are frozen."
Sometimes we say, "It's freezing in here," but we don't really mean that, right? He's talking about freezing to the point where they die. "Is there one sentence for all of them?" "Yes, all of them. All 40 of them." "One is no better than the other. They're all dogs. See that my words are obeyed and that you show them no mercy unless you are willing to leave off their Jesus talk." It was winter and it was night. It's cold at night, doesn't it, when it's winter time? 40 men were lined up in the shores of the frozen lake. Emperor Aurelius was on hand to see that everything he had ordered was carried out to the letter. He had not forgotten the unwilling tone of the captain's voice, nor that strange look on his face. No, he was too wise to take any chances of having his captain spoil his plan. Here's where I'm going to skip some. "Well," he said, rubbing his hands together, "it is time we get down to the job at hand, or these 40 Christians will think that all their punishment will be just standing in line at the shore of this lake." The Emperor lowered his voice and leaned in to Lucius. "But keep a sharp eye on that captain. I don't trust him. He hissed through his teeth. Then both men strode to where the captain and the guards stood, watching the 40 men lined up straight and tall before them. Strip to the skin, the emperor commanded. The 40 men did so. Now go and stand on the lake, he ordered, until you are prepared to abandon your god. 40 men marched obediently forward. The icy blast of the howling storm tore at their bodies. 40 men took their places on the ice. 40 men on their knees lifted their voices and sang, our lives are offered up to thee. With gladness they are given. We only pray for victory and eternal life in heaven. An angry gust of wind flung particles of snow and ice into their faces, already sensitive to the cold. Someone moaned. One of the 40 men stirred. Suddenly, he was on his feet. The emperor and Lucius were straight to see. Their attendants and slaves were watching. The captain of the guards was watching with them. They saw the man break into a run. They saw him draw near to the temple, enter its open doors. They watched as he fell before the image of the emperor. This was a Christian, or he had been a Christian. The emperor was beside himself with glee. Ha ha, what brave men, he shouted. One whimpering cur has gone slinking to the temple already. Watch the rest of them follow him. Ha ha. The captain was standing with his head bowed. His lips moved slightly. Suddenly, he jerked his head erect. The emperor was watching. Their eyes met. The emperor sneered. His face was ugly with hate and contempt. The captain took a step forward. His heart had been touched by the way these Christians loved one another. He had been moved by the sight of the 40 figures marching forward in the dark. His spirit had been stirred by the bravery of 40 voices ringing out in the icy blackness. 40 men who dared to live and die for the God they loved. 40 men, but one. God in heaven, he gasped. Let there yet be 40. Without a glance behind him, the captain tore off his helmet. He threw down his sword. He stripped off his clothes. The startled emperor watched in amazement as the captain ran forward on the ice and joined in the singing to take the place of the man who had weakened and fallen. As the dawn of the day broke, there were 40 frozen bodies on the ice. And I saw someone go like that. What kind of story would you say this is? How do you feel with this story? What do you think, Riel?
Scary.
Scary. Why do you think it's scary? What's scary about this story? Anybody have something to say? Why do you think it sounds scary?
Because they got frozen to the ice.
They died, didn't they? Does it make you sad? I mean, usually death is sad, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you feel? When I read the story, was there anything else you felt? Has something else. What did you think of the emperor? How did he make you feel? He was mean. Make you kind of angry at him? Did you have something? Did anybody feel any happiness? No? Is there anything happy in this story? Yes.
One of the captain repented.
The captain repented. Why does that make you happy?
Because he's believed in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But he died. Because he believed in Jesus, he died. Why would that make you happy? Yes?
Because they all went to heaven.
They all went to heaven. So this story kind of stopped here with dead people. But is that really the end? There's a quote that a man who gave his life for Jesus, his name is Jim Elliot. How many of you have heard of Jim Elliot? He says, "He is no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose." Now, let's break that apart a little bit. What do you think he's referring to, that which you cannot keep? What can you not keep? Anybody know? Yes?
Life.
Does anybody think here, how many of you think you'll die someday? Unless Jesus comes back first, I think we'll all die. I mean, we might be 99 years old, and, you know, there's a joke about an old lady that's like 100 years old, and she says she's not worried because there's not many people that die at her age. Well, she's going to die probably, right? So, by giving that which you cannot keep, you can't keep life. You gain that which you cannot lose. What is something that you cannot lose?
Heaven.
So, would you say this is a sad story or a happy story? Happy? First thought, it seemed sad, didn't it? And it is serious. I mean, it wouldn't have been fun. How many of you would want to be one of these 40 men? No, right? You would? Yeah, there is the thing that, well, we'd be in heaven, right? Wouldn't have to worry about some of these earthly things today. All right, I'm running out of time. Now, I would be giving you one of these, and you and your partner would be helping each other fill those out together. I'm just going to give it to you. And you would be writing down, first of all, the characters, where it happened, the setting, what happened, and some things you would want to jot down. Because those of you who have done living history before know that at the end of every unit is a what? Some of you, yes?
A test.
And what happens when you have one story after another, and they're all interesting, what happens by the time you get to the test? If you're like my students, you've forgotten the stories that you learned about a week ago. Is that how it goes? Mm-hmm. So we would be writing these things down so that you could remember. I'm just going to give it to you. We're not actually going to do that. Also, if we were having a real class, and I see I'm really running out of time, we would do the chant for the real heroes. Do you know that one? I'll just read it to you anyhow, and we'll do that for dismissal. The real heroes are not those who, with great power and cunning skill, can kill the most people and win the most wars. No, the real heroes are those who refuse to fight back, who wield the weapon of love to conquer hate, who let themselves be killed because they love God more than life. This is the life Jesus lived. Real heroes follow his example. So even though these men, it might look like they were conquered, they were actually the conquerors. They actually won in the end because they did what Jesus wanted them to. All right, I am going to dismiss you. Thank you for being a really good class. I wish we could have a longer class, but I gotta get back to these people. So, you can stick around if you want to, but you are dismissed.